You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter, Joe Fusaro. And, Joe, it's our first podcast of the second half after a nice all-star breakout in San Diego. And the Marlins, they're in a good position right now. I think if you told this team before the season started that they'd be in it at this point, obviously they'd rather be closer to that Nationals team. But as far as the wild card goes, they're right in the thick of things. If you had told Don Mattingly and company at the beginning of the season this is where they would be right now, do you think they would have taken it and been happy to be in this position?
Tim, absolutely, and especially when you consider Steve Gordon, 80-game suspension, which is winding down, and Giancarlo Stanton underperforming by his standards in the first half. So, a lot went right, in terms of the rest of the team stepping up. Kind of, I think what I saw in the first half, Tim, and what I saw immediately coming out of break in St. Louis was this is a team growing up. This was a young team with a lot of young talented players, the Christian Yeliches, the J.T. Realmuto's, obviously the Jose Fernandez, and they are just hitting their stride and playing very good baseball. And I anticipate they're going to be highly active before the end of the month in terms of trying to upgrade is the word that they've used a lot, the rotation, and maybe get another bullpen arm or wherever else they feel depth can come from. And I think it's going to be a very exciting end of the season for the Marlins.
As we record this on Monday, Joe, it's been a week since Giancarlo Stanton's amazing performance out at the All-Star Game, 61 home runs in that derby to win it, and it seems like he's kind of taken that momentum. I know he finished off the first half in a good spot, and then he goes to San Diego, he wins the derby, and it seems like he's taking that right into the second half. Is this the scary time for pitchers in the National League facing Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, it certainly is looking that way. He's not chasing. I think he's healthy. I think we talked briefly about it in the first half, but I wasn't sure if he was completely healthy. He had some stuff going on. They called it the side, whether it was a little bit of an oblique. I don't think his hand, he had the hamate surgery, at the end of last year. It knocked him out the second half of last year. And I don't think the strength in the hand was fully where he wanted it to be the first month or two in terms of his recovery. But he seems really locked in. He seems, he's back in the cleanup spot ahead of Ozuna, their all-star center fielder, who's doing fine no matter where they put him. Justin Bour is also out. When he comes back, you're going to have Stanton, Ozuna, and Bour. All three are going to hit well over 20 homers, probably 30. So there's a lot of thunder there. And with Stanton having protection around him and Stanton, it's going to be real interesting, Tim, because this seems to be the first time that the Marlins in Stanton's career are going to be in the second half with legitimate playoff implications. And it won't be like Stanton will just be, okay, let's see if he can lead the league in homers or driving 100 on a bad team. It's going to be, let's see how he does in the context of a contender and if he can kind of become what the Marlins, certainly feel he is, a legitimate, MVP and one of the best players in the league type player. I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP this year because of the bad first half, but, he's certainly capable of carrying this team the second half and performing at the level of the highest players in the game.
Yeah, and eventually get D. Gordon back as well. This lineup could certainly be scary when everybody is healthy. One more thing from the All-Star game, Joe. David Ortiz and Jose Fernandez had kind of a fun back and forth with Fernandez pitching to him. Eventually it ends up in a walk, and Ortiz gets the cheer from everybody. But then afterwards, Ortiz and his presser talked multiple times about, he thought Jose was going to be on the Red Sox and they'd love to get that guy. Obviously, the Marlins are in a pennant race and they're not trading Jose Fernandez. But how did those comments come across in Miami? Did they upset some people?
Well, I think they upset the league because I think the Red Sox have been reprimanded. Actually, I kind of know they have been. And, now he's the second one to say that, with Pedro Martinez being the first. So I guess I could go down the line and kind of wish Jose would be there. But it's upsetting to the Marlins because this is a team that is, certainly primed to make a really good run. They got a fan base that's trying to buy in. And anything that says to the contrary that they're going to sell off a player you know, especially their ace, you know, I think it was kind of inappropriate, you know, comments by David Ortiz. I don't think he really meant it to be offensive, but, you know, a lot of that will be brushed aside. The Marlins have bigger things to worry about, and Jose Fernandez isn't a free agent until after the 2018 season. So, you know, it's all, you know, speculation, and it's all, you know, good hearsay, and it's a big established market trying to get a great player. But, you know, in the context of Miami and the Marlins, I think that the league will say what they have to the Red Sox, and then they'll move on.
Yeah, I think Ortiz is more having fun than anything else. He's a guy that obviously says what he wants to say all the time and had some fun with that. It was after, obviously, facing off for Fernandez. Speaking of Jose Fernandez, the numbers continue to pile up, Joe. On Monday night, he gets his 500th strikeout, threw a lot of pitches, but he was dominant again. He tied his career high with 14 strikeouts again. But historically, he's the third fastest to 500 strikeouts as far as starts go, behind Yu Darvish and Doc Gooden. He's the fastest as far as innings go for a starter, 400 innings. He just edges out Darvish in that category. You have to wonder, if it hadn't been for the injury and basically the lost season, at this point, the numbers he'd be putting up at this age would be kind of amazing. But it seems like he's getting stronger maybe as this season goes on and not tiring. And I'm sure maybe the Marlins had some concerns that as the innings piled up, he'd get a little tired this season. But so far, he looks fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get him to that range of, you know, 180 to 200. I think he kind of is tracking at 30 starts and about if he goes six or so innings a start, it's about 185 innings for the season. And that's the goal. I mean, he's an ace on the team, you know, is trying to go and dethrone the Mets and make the National summer really, really uncomfortable. So they're going to need him to pitch at that level. And, yeah, I mean, he's racking up a ton of strikeouts, but the 20-25 pitch first innings are coming at the cost of that, and he's never pitched eight innings in his entire career. So, you know, here's a guy that, you know, they love the strikeouts, but, you know, I think they trade a few of those for some early contact and some easier innings instead of having to go five, six pitches with everyone. But certainly whenever he gets in trouble, the strikeout pitch is there to bail him out, mainly a slider. And, you know, I think he's still learning how to pitch. He's still learning how to pace himself. But, you know, he's certainly a star of the game and one of the faces of this franchise, one of the more exciting players in the game. And, yeah, that's just going to be the case with him is, does he tire at the end? I don't imagine he will too much this year. Maybe there'll be repercussions next year because he'll be making a pretty big jump in innings. But, you know, he's kind of locked in. He's young. He's strong. He'll be 24 at the end of this month. And, you know, he's a big reason why they are where they are.
Yeah, the maturation as far as being economical with the pitches seems like it's generally the last thing that aces kind of figure out. You don't have to strike everybody out. You can get guys to chase bad pitches and ground out. It works just as well. You mentioned we mentioned the deadline, Joe, and obviously Fernando Rodney already a good addition to this bullpen. The lineup looks like it's in good shape. Where do they go? What's the piece that's missing from this team? Is it that fifth starter? Is it more help to the bullpen? What kind of player do you think they could get?
Yeah, they're looking at rotation help, as are pretty much everyone in contention. So it's going to be real fascinating because, you know, a word I used earlier in the podcast, Tim, was the word upgrade. That's kind of a word that, you know, part of the new regime in the front office has said they just tried to upgrade. In the perfect world, they could get a number two that's ideally situated behind Jose, and then they, you know, can match with Scherzer and Strasburg, you know, Jose and whoever the pitcher is. But I'm not sure that player or that pitcher is going to be available. And you still need a few teams. Are the Yankees still in it? Are they going to say they're out at the end? So I think right now you're looking at like a Hellickson of Philly. You know, he could be on their radar for what they're willing to give up. And if that's the case, is he an upgrade over there 4 and 5 at this rate? You'd probably say yes. So, you know, there would be an improvement there as well as adding depth. So I think ideally they'd like to get, you know, a Pineda from the Yankees if he is indeed available. You're going to hear Archer's name. You'll hear Odorizzi's name. And, you know, the question will be what the return is. They don't really want to peel off the, you know, the 25-man roster. You know, you've seen Echeverria's name thrown out there in the possible Archer-type trade. But I don't see the Marlins creating a hole at shortstop to address pitching. That's not really where they are right now. That could be more of an off-season type trade if they wanted to go that route, because they'd have the off-season to try to, you know, rectify shortstop. Because, you know, even if you go to Miguel Rojas, who's certainly capable of playing a fine shortstop, you know, your depth is completely depleted in your middle infield. You're not going to have Dee Gordon for the playoffs if you get there anyway. So it makes zero sense to trade, you know, any of those guys. Now, would they move D? I mean, that would be a fascinating question if they indeed would move Dee Gordon and try to use him to get an upper rotation guy. But I'm not sure that's the wisest move long term. And I still think they're probably going to need D to get where they want to go. So that's why I think it could be more of if Pineda becomes available, there's some, you know, some guys in Greensboro, including Josh Naylor, who might be attractive to the Yankees. Or Hellickson, they'll, you know, it's more of a rental situation. They may not have to give up as much. So it's going to be fascinating. I wouldn't be shocked if there's more than one move, you know, if there's a starter and a reliever, or if there's, you know, or two starters. You know, they may not be the biggest names out there, but they might be upgrades that might be enough that creates enough depth to take the team where they want to go.
All right, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, and it's good to be talking about the Miami Marlins buyers at the deadline as they try to make a run towards October. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.